Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
Which haven't been able to like turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
Interesting how big of a rush you are to turn the page on this game when you fought us tooth and nail. And
well,
you got to turn it.
That was a bye week. I was just excited about the Commanders business. That's all.
Well, it ended up being a good game.
Yeah, it did end up being a good game.
With a bad result. But now we are walking into, Matt Spiegel, a game that I don't think it's hyperbole to say is critical to the rest of the Bears season.
A massively important NFC tilt against a team that finds itself in a similar kind of spot in the conference, trying to figure out if they're for real or not. The Cardinals, look, overall, the offense is 12th in yards per game. They're 8th in rushing, 20th in passing, and right about there in points. Defensively, they're 25th in yards per game. They're 24th in passing yards per game, 25th in rushing, right about there in points as well. But they're a team that's coming together or not. They're trying to figure themselves out. Offensively, they were awful against Detroit, awful against Green Bay, not even great in the win against the Niners, but crazy good in a 41-point performance against the Rams, and really good this past Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. A ton of magical Kyler Murray plays this past Sunday. We know he can be a wizard with his feet, and then the arm. He was, 26 of 36, 307 yards and two touchdowns. On the season,
he's having a year, y'all.
He really is, and it's weird. He's got great numbers when under pressure. And he's got kind of mediocre or middling numbers when not under pressure. When he's under pressure, he is avoiding the rush and getting the ball out or making things happen and putting up incredible numbers as a passer and as a runner. And you worry about him as a runner because we just saw the Bears had given up 78 yards rushing to quarterbacks on the year. Then Jaden Daniels had 52. Here comes Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you look at the numbers that he's put up, 344 yards rushing so far this year, but his season numbers are wild in like the best possible way. He's completed 67% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns, only three interceptions. Now, because he scrambles, he does put himself sometimes in situations where he can knock himself, like similar to what Caleb did, knocking the Bears out of field goal range. Kyler can do that. He also has the ability to make everyone look stupid.
Yes, he does. And this offensive line has been, you know, ragtag. 8 different starters, 10 different players have taken snaps on the O-line, but they've now gone 3 straight games without giving up a sack. That's the first time since 1975. Jim Hart was the quarterback for this franchise when the last time that happened.
Kyler Murray has 3 ratings above 100, including 1 rating in week 2 against the Rams that was perfect.
Yeah, he was remarkable in that game. So he's shown a lot during the course of the year. James Conner is a solid multi-purpose every down back.
Just a good player with a great story.
7th in rushing in the league. He leads all running backs in yards per catch. Jonathan Gannon, the coach, said he flat out carried them and the Chargers win on a Monday night a couple years ago. How about this? James Conner, he's in his 4th year in Arizona already. After 4 in Pittsburgh, he's already up to 10th in franchise history, just past David Johnson in rushing yards for Arizona.
That's pretty cool.
Number 1 on that list, Otis Anderson, number 1 all-time in rushing yards for the Cardinals. This past week was a Marvin Harrison Jr. breakout game. 6 catches on 7 targets for 111 yards. Several huge acrobatic catches late, including this incredible touchdown.
Murray to throw. Kyler Murray lets it rip. End zone, Harrison. What a catch. Man, oh man.
Another huge third down conversion. By the way, hello, Jason Benetti.
That play-by-play guy sounds really good.
He had a huge third down conversion that was originally ruled incomplete, but then overturned upon review. Just incredible catch.
I wonder what he's doing these days.
Benetti?
Yeah.
I know.
He's doing Robbie Triano's games.
Oh.
But they have a thing now. I saw this from Ben Solak over at ESPN. Marvin Harrison Jr. ran 40% of his routes from the slot this past Sunday. Targeted on a crossing route for the first time since week three. So they've got Marvin now in the middle of the field and running crossers. So
are you saying that this would be a great week for Kyler Gordon to be available?
It really, really would. It really deeply would. Otherwise, Josh Blackwell might end up on Marvin Harrison a lot. And that could be a little scary.
Kyler's out there fighting crime. Don't worry about it. He's out there fighting crime, spinning webs. And the rest of the NFL, by the way, Robbie, your Lions are just co-opting the Spider-Man thing.
Are they spinning webs?
Who do they have as their
David
Spider-Man?
David Montgomery and who else? They came in with like the two different Spider-Man masks on Sunday.
Is it Jameson Williams? No, that was a gun.
I wish Kyler would stop Jameson Williams. I wish Kyler would come to Detroit and just web
yeah,
that.
But the Lions are like co-opting Kyler's thing. Like everyone wants to be Spider-Man now.
By the way, it was crazy that they caught Jameson Williams with a gun under his seat while he was gambling on an app and taking performance-enhancing drugs.
That's not accurate, but all three of those things has happened to Jameson Williams.
Okay,
but that's not turning the page. Excuse me, once we get to the North,
that was taking pot shots at a better team in the division.
They're a lot better
on this defensive line for the Cardinals. They lost two old friend defensive linemen to injuries for the year: Justin Jones on injured reserve, and Bilal Nichols. Bilal, you there, man?
He's been around for a while.
He's not there. Both out for the year. They lost a pass rusher to an ACL injury last week, but they did just activate Darius Robinson, the rookie, who's going to make his season debut in all likelihood on Sunday. This past Sunday, Lawrence, they only had five active defensive linemen. Only five. They played with what
hard
they call...
Hard to tap out.
Oh, unless you're Anthony Richardson. They played with a light box all day. And if you've ever played with a light box, you know... That can be very sketchy.
Yeah, I've been there, dude.
Yeah, they have a very young secondary.
Some players in that secondary.
They do,
though.
But Sean Murphy Bunting is the vet of corner. He's been hurt. Buda Baker is the dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's the leader back there, made huge plays against Miami, including a forced fumble. Here's the big picture. According to the Football Power Index over at ESPN, the Bears have played the league's easiest schedule so far. They play the league's toughest schedule from here on out. The Cardinals have played the league's toughest schedule so far. They play the second easiest schedule from here on out. So two teams meeting in the middle right now, which some people think are headed in opposite directions. This is a big one.
It is. It's a huge game, and you're going on the road, and that place is weird, and you also have to deal with something that doesn't seem like a big deal, but is a big deal. The time change.
Is it 2 hours?
It'll be 1 hour.
Just 1 hour.
Because Arizona doesn't change time.
Oh, that's right. They never change time.
No, they don't. But
so why is 1 hour a big deal?
Because your body will think it'll be two. You've been getting prepared for two.
Who's right, Arizona or the rest of the country when it comes to time?
I think Arizona's right. I think
Arizona's
like the only thing that they're right about.
It's all got to do with the Mayans, and we don't care about them.
It's not the Mayans.
I thought it was the Toltecs. The Toltecs, no? The Mayans?
I thought it was farmers. I thought that's what we were doing. Thank you, Ray. It's co-signing that.
It's the Mayans.
I'm
just glad. Don't climb on our temples. Okay, whatever, dude. Don't put them there. They're very climbable.
I think that's why Ray turned around. He's like, why are you making fun of my people?
That's a really good point. Yeah, I do want to climb those.
I think that this is something, though, I think they have right. And when you're there, you're like, you know what? This makes all the sense in the world.
Well, you'll be there. You can tell us how it feels to have your body go back 2 hours, but your clock only go back one.
Yeah. It's going to be strange. And then for me, I mean, I'm going through it. Because then what happens? Then I jump to Vegas to meet you guys.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go back two.
Man, I don't.
Or three.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for you.
You shouldn't.
I really don't.
Because we are going to
be. It sounds good.
We are going to be in the cabana at Circa.
Damn right.
And it's going to be awesome.
And Thursday night, we get in at like 10:20. The Circa limo is going to pick us up. They're going to have a bottle of Jack in there for us. And then we'll meet you at Legacy Club on the rooftop at 11:15.
11:15 at Legacy Club.
It will be like 1:15 our time, but we'll be there.
Probably find me at the craps table at the D.
Okay. All right.
Because I will already have been there for 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Well, you can walk over and meet us.
I'm taking like my favorite flight in America. The Vegas to Phoenix, Phoenix to Vegas flight.
45-minute flight.
That goes right over the Grand Canyon. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You're like, oh, look at that. It's the Grand Canyon. Oh, I'm on the ground. Let's go play craps.
Don't even have time for the free beverage?
No.
They don't bother.
They try. The people in Southwest, they definitely hustle. And they're like, we're going to give people these drinks. Yeah. But you got to shotgun that.
They're just throwing peanuts at you from the front.
Well, I don't think they do that. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, not peanuts.
Has anyone been on a Southwest flight with peanuts? I don't think they can even do it.
I mean,
they
2024, people are so soft, they can't handle peanuts anymore. So you can't get them on any flight.
Except the Mayans.
For Ranji's flights, where they don't serve penis on the flights.
Well,
and Cracker Jack.
It depends on how many people you can fit into the lavatory.
Those are Matt Nagy's flights. He prefers penis and Cracker Jack on his flights.
Are you guys Mile High Club or no?
On a PJ, yeah. No. I'm saying that on a PJ, I would be open to it. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought that was experiential. I thought we were getting the story time right
there. I want to join on like a Frontier or a Spirit flight.
Like you barely have a ticket.
Like grimy. Put me on the wing. Let me join the Mile High Club on the wing, bro.
Shane doesn't even have like a bag. He just bought the ticket.
He's out there on the wing. Talk about a nightmare at 20,000 feet. Looking out the window and seeing Shane out there.
What the bleep? This will be Shane and I's second time going to Vegas together.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it is.
Do you remember who fought when we went?
Yeah, it was Canelo and Chavez Jr.
That's
it was
right.
Number two or number three.
And
Canelo beat the crap out of him.
That's right. It was Canelo.
It was the first ever fight at T-Mobile that we saw.
Mm. It was pretty great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, as always, that's the kind of stuff we get to during Turn the Page on Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
I thought we were supposed to have fun on this show.
I'm good with fun. I'm all right with fun.
We have a little Mile High Club. Well, you know what's not fun?
What's that?
The standings in the NFC North.
Oh, it's grim. It's grim. Look at me. Let's go back to the PJ. Mile High Club.
Let's talk about the NFC North and try to catch people up on what's happening inside of the NFC North. And it stinks for the Bears because you really needed a win last week to keep pace with what was happening in the NFC North because of what we thought would happen with the opponents that were played last week. And this week is not really that different when you start to look around the league on games that are going to be played. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about it here. And let's talk about these three teams that the Bears are fighting against.
Because there's a big game for two of them clashing this weekend.
That's right. The Lions and the Packers are going to play. The 6-1 Lions, who might be the best team in the NFL. Sorry, Kansas City. Sorry, Baltimore. I don't know if any other team in the NFL is more well-rounded than the Detroit Lions. You talk about three-phase football, Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, if Hutchinson were healthy, there's no question.
Three-phase football, they're also getting points from special teams. They're also getting points from special plays. They don't care. Ben Johnson will open up a can of whoop ass on you, and his trick plays work.
Laporta in motion. Toss play. Montgomery wants to throw to the end zone. There's the touchdown for Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and he pulled that out at the right time. The play, I mean. Not back to the Mile High Club conversation.
Or the light box.
Or, yeah, all of those things. I think there's a donut place called Light Box not far from Circa. Yes. Oh, wait, it's Pink Box. It doesn't matter. Either way.
It means the same thing.
Either way. But notice how they call their trick plays when, you know,
they had a lead.
They have a significant lead in a game.
Uh-huh. They do one every week.
Yeah,
but it's almost always while they're already leading because they're really good.
Can I just tell you that I absolutely love that what they do with their trick plays is they don't feel like they're saving them. They don't exhaust them. I feel like Ben Johnson is like, I'll just draw up another one if we use all the ones that we were planning to use this week. And this time it was David Montgomery. So they're the Lions. They're sitting there at 6-1, feeling great. Looking good, except for the fact that one of their best players was arrested. And this is not been a good run for old J-Mo.
No, J-Mo, Jameson Williams, it came out yesterday. Two cops really wanted to arrest him. Another cop who got there later and had a Detroit Lions logo as his wallpaper on his phone. made a whole bunch of phone calls trying to not get Jameson Williams arrested, and he emerged victorious, as did Jameson Williams. But right now, there's an investigation of the cop, and Dan Campbell, while talking about his suspended player, who's already suspended, had to answer why they support him in this kerfuffle about him having a pistol without the pistol license to go along with it.
So, catch everyone up. What are the three things that Jameson Williams has gotten in trouble for since he's been in the NFL?
Gambling. Inappropriately.
Six-gamer for that one?
Six-gamer last year for that. Was it last year?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Robbie. Robbie catalogs. Yeah, all this stuff. So there's that. Then there's performance-enhancing drugs. And now while on suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, we get word of this arrest that eventually goes away. And him saying, come on, man, you don't recognize me? I'm Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams is the most American person in the country right now. Him guns, drugs, yeah. Gambling.
It's true.
He really is. Hey, if he needs any you know, erection pills, tell him to listen to my spots as well. Can't say that? Thought I could.
We don't know. People on Twitch enjoyed it, though. And that's all that counts. Shout out to the mob. So the other team that they're playing in that game is the 6-2 Green Bay Packers. You know, the team that my partner says the Bears are going to sweep in the two games that they play with them starting in 3 weeks.
Not feeling great about that prediction.
You shouldn't have in the moment. But that's all right. Here's the thing.
It's a little drunk in the moment.
You know how you were talking about, man, that Jordan Love, man, he will give the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
You sir have been correct about that. He continues to give the ball away, and now he's hurt. He's got a groin injury. But wouldn't you know it, that Matt LaFleur has figured out a way to not only, he has made Malik Willis real rich. Malik Willis is going to get some money because of what
he is. Somebody's going to let him be a starter for
them? I don't think they're going to let him be a starter, but I think that he's going to be living in the $10 million backup range.
He's going to join Chase Daniel on being an MVP at the bank.
He might be an MVP. Let's get him ready. Let's see. He's on Hall of Fame watch for Hall of Famer at the bank, okay?
That's fair.
He's on watch. Like, he's not a finalist like our guy Olin Krutz is to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's on watch. He's on that first list.
That first long list.
That list of like 100.
Yeah.
Malik Willis is on that list because for some reason, Matt LaFleur has unlocked him.
Willis under center. And he takes the handoff, bootlegs to his right, stops, looks, throws left, got Reed, wide open, down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, banged out of bounds, near the 15-yard line by Darnell Savage. Wow.
Yeah, that's an incredible throw.
He's been really good, and it hasn't just been one throw here. It's been him being able to fit or them working a system around him that has led to him having success, and I'm really happy for Malik Willis. I'm sad for the Bears because even if you get him, because Jordan Love isn't quite right, depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks, you might still be in a game that you're in trouble in, even though you'd be, you know, kind of hoping that you're going up against a backup. It's sad. It's scary.
Can I tell you, I don't like that Detroit and Green Bay is a 325 game to go along with the Bears and Arizona at a 305 game.
But there's no other choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they got moved into that fancy slot, or maybe they were already there in the fancy slot.
They're already there because they're out west. That home game almost always is a 305.
But Detroit at Green Bay being the marquee late game is what just happens to hurt you. I rather that was flexed, but we do get the Vikings on Sunday night flexed against the Indianapolis Colts.
The Vikings are coming off a mini bye. They had that incredible game against the Rams last Thursday where there should have been a face mask call that would have stopped a safety and would have allowed for the Vikings to perhaps tie the game up with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I think Sam Darnold is actually getting better. I know that they've lost the last two games, and it's easy to be like, well, there it is. He's the weak link. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I still think that he's the weak link on that team, but I think that he's getting better. So I think that's scary.
As you look at the NFC North, you've got the Bears, obviously, dead last at 4-3. Vikings at 5-2. Packers 6-2, Lions 6-1, all three of those teams active this weekend.
Yep.
I have questions about your Hall of Fame at the bank. I want to flesh that out at some point along the way.
Yeah.
Want you to tell me who else is on that first list.
Robert Horry help us out with that? You got John Konkak on that list?
Yes.
But see, here's the thing about being a Hall of Famer at the bank, Speaks. It's not about how much money you make.
It's about how hard you work.
You damn right.
That makes
it's
sense.
About how much money you made by not working.
Can I offer you Jacoby Brissett? He's played a lot, actually.
He works very hard.
$58 million career earnings for
Jacoby
Brissett.
That's more money than I thought he had made.
Uh-huh.
He might get some consideration.
How about Jameis Winston, who's still hanging around? You want to take a stab at the career earnings for Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston's probably made $70 million.
$76 million for Jameis Winston.
And it's all going to end up with him being a pastor at a church. I'm telling you.
Hope they do crab leg lunches.
He's gonna have a super church trust in the next decade. Jameis Winston will have a super church somewhere in the South.
Charles Davis is going to join us on this show. Very excited to talk to Charles. He's doing the Cardinals and the Bears.
I love Charles Davis. He also, by the way, I don't know if you know this, he's connected with our guy, Wani.
Oh, doing stuff at Fox?
Yeah, they've done all sorts of things together. In fact, Wani has sometimes gone from an interview with Charles to an interview with me on television and called me Charles because he just talked with Charles Davis. So we will talk with Charles Davis. He is very good at his job. He is going to break down. You talk about turning the page and getting us ready for the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to help us along those lines and tell us why we are seeing the best of Kyler Murray and we are seeing Marvin Harrison flourish the way that he has. And we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with your Chicago Bears, too.
By the way, later on in the show, Mark Grody has exclusive sound from Jalen Johnson and Kevin Byard from today in the locker room. No other television or radio station will have what we have at 5 o'clock with Grody, so tell a friend.
But next up, Charles Davis breaks down this game in the Bears locker room next on The Score. Here I go.